welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guy. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
All right, well, Chris, let's start with, you know, last week, you know, last Saturday afternoon, that was a great come-from-behind effort to advance in the Class 5 bracket.
Yeah, it was, and super proud of the team and all the effort they gave that day. And, you know, it was eerily similar to last year's game, you know, just how everything kind of played out. And, you know, we made the plays in the end to tie that thing up and to win it in overtime and, you know, kind of punch our ticket to the semifinals. So just very happy with the team, what they gave, the confidence and how we practiced and just the belief to get it done when things didn't look very good. You keep fighting until you know, when you have another play, you just keep fighting. And the fourth and long that we completed to Logan in the back corner of the end zone, obviously that propelled us into overtime. And we did it from there with a great defensive stand and a great kick by Nick.
Yeah, you know, that was really, you know, the offense comes through, the defense comes through, and then special teams come through. It was just a total team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, right at the very end, it really was. And, you know, that fade ball to Logan in the back of the end zone, that is something we do practice every week. You know, those back square throws and, you know, those jump balls and, you know, all that practice paid off. And, you know, Austin threw a great ball and Logan did a really, really good job of getting up and high point that and, you know, giving us an opportunity. And, you know, as Nick said in the paper, that extra point was actually probably more pressure than the field goal kick. Because that was do or die, and so to make the extra point and then to set him up and, you know, with a nice field goal, he drilled it through, and awesome way to, you know, to punch your ticket to the Final Four.
You know, so today, this afternoon, you're going to play Lafayette Wildwood, and frankly, you know, a lot of people might not know much about it, but that's a pretty good program, isn't it?
It is very good. Their coach has been there, I think, 19 years. They play out of the St. Louis League. I kind of checked the records. We've never played them before, and we don't know a whole lot about them. I think they kind of flew under the radar, so to speak. I mean, when you talked about St. Louis Class 5 football, everyone talked about Cardinal Ritter. And, you know, I will admit that was the team that I think most of us thought we'd be playing if we made it that far.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, Lafayette played a great game, and, you know, they left no doubt. In that game, that they deserve to win that. So here we are playing Lafayette, and they're again very well coached football team, and it's going to be a battle this afternoon.
Yeah, and it's a team that really look on offense looks like they like to throw the football.
Yeah, they do. About 70% of the time, they're going to throw the football, and that's kind of how their yardage looks too. They're very pass heavy. They've got a couple receivers with, you know, over 40 catches, and their quarterback has thrown for over 2,000 yards, 20 some touchdowns, and their defense is very opportunistic too. Lots of takeaways, lots of interceptions, lots of sacks, lots of forced fumbles. So in a way, they kind of remind us of us just a little bit defensively and what they do. They're very multiple. They're very aggressive in what they're doing with their defensive scheme. I think we run the ball a little more frequently than they do. Mm-hmm. Two evenly matched teams, it could come down to a play here or there, a special teams moment, a turnover. But we're expecting a very hard-fought, very close game today.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, while I know we're all very excited to talk about a state semifinal today, we've got to look back first of the fact that they got to this point, which was almost kind of a mini miracle last week. Kind of a cardiac kid sort of moment for the Helias Crusaders last week, finally, you know, getting that 24-21 overtime win at Republic.
Yeah, it was exciting down to the end. You know, Helias scores on a 4th-and-15 play from the 24 with a pass from Austin Weaver to Logan Hillman in the back of the end zone that makes it 21-20. And then Nick Calvaruso comes on to kick an extra point. Make it, not to jump ahead in the story, to make it, you know, tied at 21. Get to overtime. Elias wins the toss, wants the ball second. Smart.
Right.
You know, and the defense really stepped up. You know, the first half, they gave up 190 yards and held them to 128, I think, in the second half. Continued that into overtime. Only gave up 2 yards in three plays. They came on to try to kick a 38-yard field goal. It was wide. Elias took over at the 20. Was never going to throw the ball.
Right.
If they, you know, Coach Hinchis told me, he said, hey, if we run it in, we'll take the touchdown, but we're going to run.
Right.
And they got running plays down and ended up with a 36-yard field goal that...
Just shows you the benefit of the luxury that Elias has with the kicking game that they have that a lot of people don't have, where you go, you know what? We know we only need a field goal to win, and we're going to probably just settle for a field goal. And then just the ability to have that confidence in your kids is great.
Yeah, and you know, and it's not, you know, okay, we get the ball inside the 10, we're going to try to kick a 27-yard field goal.
Right.
No, we're going to go ahead and kick what turned out to be a 36-yard field goal and comfortably made it. You know, I talked to Nick afterward, and Chris mentioned that in the preview part, and said, you know, Nick's told me that he was more nervous on the extra point than he was on the field goal because, you know, the extra point game's over.
Right.
Field goal, he said, well, we'll get the ball back and try again.
Yeah.
And so that was big. You know, to me it was big. In that last 2 minutes, the offense came through. The defense came through.
Right.
Special teams came through.
Yeah.
That was really a complete effort at the end.
And I think what's so amazing about kind of the whole comeback is the fact that, you know, we didn't even go far enough back to get, like, kind of the important turnover that they got to kind of get that game-tying score where, you know, you kind of look like things are going bad and you're hoping we got to make a play and the defense is able to get a force a fumble and get the ball back for the offense to go down and tie it to force overtime.
Yeah, it was – you just couldn't tell. It was on the other side of the field from the press box where I was sitting upstairs. And some people said it is controversial. Talked to a couple of Hawaii's people, their perspective from the sideline basically was the Republic runner was still laying on top of a Hawaii's tackler the ball came loose.
Yeah.
And so he really wasn't down.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some people say, well, his helmet may have hit the ground or his knee. I don't know. But,
right.
But they did originally signal that it was going to be Republic ball, but then they talked about it and they turned the other way.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just... You catch a break like that,
sure.
And you just take advantage of it. And, you know, it truly could have been a fumble. I think it was. And then, you know, you take advantage of that and you find a way to score.
And you still have to make the play that results in it being a fumble. I mean, you can let the kid lay on top of you all day long and not be digging at the ball. But if you're digging at the ball and you force a turnover, then great. You're doing what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that was one of two turnovers in the game for Republic. And, you know, Hawaii's, I don't think, had any. So, if you win the turnover battle, a lot of times you're going to win the game.
Before we put a button on that game, it's worth saying that's kind of turned into a fun little rivalry the last couple of years. And just the fact that, you know, we've been treated to two pretty darn good games the last couple of years between these two teams at that level of the playoffs. So, you know, it's turned into quite the interesting little meeting in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, last year it was... The games were eerily similar, you know, in the fact that there was a lot of offense in the first half. Adjustments were made, and then it was kind of a scramble to who could score late. And, you know, Hawaii's last year was down 28-21 in the final minute or so. Thought they had thrown a potential game-tying touchdown pass, and it got called back for illegal motion. You know, it was, you know, what the lead to my story was, it was in that same end zone that they ended up scoring it. You know, that end zone took it away from them last year and got him back this year. So they kind of evened the score.
So the end result is Elias improves to 11-1 in the season. It gets them into the state semifinals, which is kind of, you know, you want to keep playing, survive and advance. And they clearly survived last week and advanced. Now it's to the point where you get ready for, you know, a 3 o'clock game today at home against Lafayette Wildwood. It's a 12-1 Lafayette Wildwood team, and we go, okay, from here on out, we're just going to call them Lafayette to make it easy.
Please.
I think the question is, okay, this is not a team that we're kind of used to seeing this deep in the playoffs, so I guess it's one of these things where we're going to let you educate us about Lafayette at this point.
Oh, dear gosh, you poor people. well, they really... kind of have been under the radar, which is really strange when you say, hey, they're 12-1 right. in the state semifinals. But when you thought about Class 5 football in St. Louis this year, it was Cardinal Ritter.
Right.
You know, everyone just assumed that they were going to be the St. Louis team that came out and was probably going to make it all the way to the championship game.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, last week, Lafayette ended up beating Cardinal Ritter 30-18 at Cardinal Ritter. And people that have watched the game, seen the game on film, or said basically Lafayette deserved to win. They okay. played better.
Yep.
Now, Ritter got some yards on him, but just couldn't find the end zone. Okay. And you know, Lafayette was just steady, did what they had to do, you know, threw the ball for almost 300 yards, didn't run it a whole lot, which we'll get to when we talk about the game preview for today. But did enough offensively, you know, they got to 30 points. And if you get to 30, there yeah. are a lot of nights you should win.
Well, and I think it's one of those things to maybe overlook them just kind of based on, you know, like I say, they were under the radar. Yeah. They can't be under the radar anymore. After you beat Ritter, you've got to go. You're now on everybody's radar because you're obviously a dangerous football team.
Yeah, I mean, they were unranked in the – I don't know if they ever got votes in the poll. I don't ever remember them all season. You know, they were the number 2 seed in their district, but – took advantage of, you know, an upset in front of them and won the district rather handily and then came back and confident as ever and beat Ritter. And you look, you know, we talk about their offense, they're scoring a lot of points, but defensively in their 3 district games and, you know, the quarterfinal, they're giving up an average of less than 10 points a game.
Right. So I think the thing that you look at and go, okay, you know, this is – I don't know, again, I think when you see a team like this and you see them coming off a huge win like this, the first thing that I want to know is, okay, who's that one loss to? Apparently, well, the one loss was in Week 7
yeah.
to Eureka. It was a Eureka team that ended up being 9-1 but lost in the first round of district. So
right.
what do we kind of take away from that loss?
Well, they were the number 1 seed in that district, I think, that they were in. So, yeah, it, you know, that's just a tough game. Eureka was, you know, in the poll – you know, somewhere in the 5, 6, 7, 8 range all year.
Right.
And so that was, you know, that was a team that kind of half was on the radar.
Okay.
You know, they lost, but, you know, you talk about their one loss, it was 30-15 was that score. It was the lowest point total that Lafayette scored this year. You kind of look at the other side of it, you know, their signature win, they beat Kirkwood. And
right.
Kirkwood is now, he's in the Class 6 semifinals as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have a good win there. And, you know, it's obviously a very quality football team that can score and can play some defense.
Right.
So it's going to be, I think, a very good game this afternoon.
Well, and so I think that's worth noting is I think, I don't know, I feel like this one could end up, I wouldn't be surprised if this one is low scoring. Because, again, you look at how they won last week against a very good team. It was a low scoring game. You know, Helias played a very low scoring game last week against a very good team. I just feel like, you know, is today going to be just as simple as which defense plays better? Because I think both of them obviously can play pretty well.
Or
will it be the other team's offense?
No, I think, you know, it's going to come down to make, you know, a mistake or two and who can take advantage of
okay.
the other team's mistakes.
Sure.
You know, Helias is plus a lot in turnover margin
yeah.
this year. Well, so is Lafayette. You know, they're getting turnovers. Helias is getting turnovers. You know, in a game like today, you make a turnover in the wrong spot or two,
right.
you know, you could very well find yourself down 2 scores. And it's like, we haven't been behind like this for a while or if ever this year.
Right.
And so then, you know, what happens to you then?
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the fact that this is a little bit of an audible that's been called this week from the standpoint of this game was supposed to be Saturday and instead it's 3:00 today because
right.
we were looking at the possibility of snow on Saturday. Other than taking the snow maybe out of the equation today, it looks eerily similar from the standpoint of it's like maybe a high in like the, you know, mid to high 30s.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be cold. You just maybe won't have to combat snow, but I feel like it's still going to be kind of real chilly
yeah.
late postseason football.
But we're looking at sunshine, perhaps.
That's
so
true.
That's
true.
Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the idea, the game was moved up on Tuesday, you know, and Lafayette readily agreed to come down here on the Friday because I'd heard it, you know, they kind of would rather almost prefer to play it on Friday anyway. So,
yeah.
you know, it's, I asked Chris, you know, you're cutting basically a day out of preparation.
Sure.
Which would have been, for the most part, Friday.
Right.
But he said, really, you know, we call it all, the game got changed early enough in the day Tuesday that it allowed us to adjust our practice to get some more stuff in and get our work in. And he said, We're comfortable with it. You know, playing it today is going to be easier on a lot of people. You know, if there is snow tomorrow, there that would have, logistically, you've got stuff to do at your school.
Right.
And, you know, just getting it done today, I think, is easier on everybody. And, you know, you're gonna at least going to get to play in sunshine, and
yeah.
It looks like. And so, it's probably a good idea. I'm a little surprised that more people aren't doing it.
Right.
But, you know, because I think they are the only semifinal that's moved to today so far.
Okay.
And so, I think it's a good idea. You know, Lord knows if you're a high school football fan, this game's the only game you've got right. In the state. So here's, you know, you're going to get a lot of attention on this one.
So you mentioned that you think it's a good idea moving it up. But is it maybe a good idea from the standpoint of Lafayette likes to throw the ball? And I think I'd maybe almost make them want to have to throw it in worse weather if I were them. Because it sounds like they're a team that throws it roughly 70% of the time. So I think maybe if you could make it worse conditions for that, maybe you'd want to.
It's not roughly, Tony. It is, but okay. It is 70% of the time.
Okay.
And, well, it's true, but, you know, on the flip side, Helias likes to throw the ball, too.
That's true.
Their pass offense has really stepped up the last couple of weeks, especially with the deep ball, you know. And so I think the conditions will probably be better today to throw the ball, and, you know, that could be in the favor of Helias. Who knows?
Yeah. So let's talk about that passing attack for Lafayette. Like who obviously it starts with the quarterback. Who is the quarterback, and how often will we hear his name today?
We're going to hear it a lot.
Yeah.
It's Jack Beal is their quarterback. He's completed 70% of his passes. He's thrown for almost 3,300 yards and 35 touchdowns with just 9 interceptions. So he obviously is good. You know, Chris said he can sling it.
Okay.
You know, and obviously that's the type of quarterback you want if you're going to have an offense that throws it 70% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, he said he doesn't run the ball a lot, but he is a very capable runner if you give him space.
Okay.
So, they're going to have to keep a little bit of an eye on him as well, what they're going to do.
Okay. Who's he going to throw it to?
Well, the number one receiver is Robbie Preckel.
Okay.
I hope that's how you pronounce your last name. He's a Northwestern commit.
Okay.
So, you know, a Big Ten D1 receiver. And he has 82 catches for more than 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns.
Okay.
He is a target. Chris stressed that, you know, in the film, videos, whatever we call it, whatever we're calling it these days, that they've seen, they like to get him the ball a lot.
Okay.
And they like to try to perhaps hide him sometimes, to where, you know, your attention gets off of him, and that's when they sneak him the ball. So Helias is, you know, their main focus is going to be figuring out where he is on every play, because he is going to be a key guy. And he's not only a receiver, he actually ran for 2 touchdowns against Cardinal Ritter.
Yep.
So he's a kid that's going to, when he gets the ball in his hands, he is going to be a handful.
Okay. Now, obviously, it sounds like they don't run the ball a lot, but is there somebody that you kind of have to worry about if they do run, or is it just kind of it's just by committee, or like you say, maybe Preckel getting the ball, you know, when they decide to get it to him running-wise?
You know, their leading rusher is Cody Keene at just under 400 yards and 7 touchdowns. They don't run it a lot. And and he said, but Chris did say, you know, they are capable of when they need to run it, they can very well just put double tights in there and try to smash it at you.
Okay.
And they have to be ready for that, because that could happen. I mean, that, frankly, is what they've seen the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Is really hard-running teams, you know, in Lebanon and Republic that just run it at you and run it at you and run it at you. So they've seen something like that. They, you know, they've been prepared for it the last couple of weeks, but they, you know, need to be ready for it again today.
Okay. Flipping it to the perspective of the Helias offense, is there anybody on the Lafayette defense that's really a difference maker for them?
You know, it's just hard to say. You know, the linebacking crew leads them in tackles, which happens pretty much on every team. They do get a lot of sacks, and they do get a lot of interceptions. And so you've got to be sure you cannot turn the ball over. You know, you've got to be ready. You're going to get hit. Don't fumble the ball. You need to be ready. You know, Austin Weaver has to be sure of where he's throwing it to make sure that, you know, it doesn't get picked off. Because I do think turnovers could very well be the deciding factor today.
The other factor that could be big is the injury factor. And it sounds like there's one in particular for Helias that sounds like it's going to be problematic today.
Yeah, Alex Marbury's going to miss the game. He was injured against Republic. You know, he's the senior running back, was an All-State as a returner last year and was on his way to being an All-State returner, I think, again this year. he suffered a concussion. You know, he's missed some games this year with an injured ankle, then he injured the other ankle, and it's just been frustrating. Well, then he had got a concussion. He will not play this week. C.J. Howell is going to step in at running back, starting running back for him. C.J.'s gotten a lot of carries this year. C.J.'s very, very capable. He's had some really good games out of the backfield for him. And they've got a couple other guys who also have a lot of experience. You know, that's one thing. They were deep at running back. They are deep at running back. Yeah. And so, you know, Ben Holly will get some carries. Brady Fan will get some carries because Howell also plays defense. I think that those guys are really going to they have the potential to do good jobs for them today. You know, those are different type backs than Howell and Marbury. They're just kind of quick backs. Those two are more kind of scatter, you know, just try to make a move, or in Brady Fan's case, just kind of up the middle and get some tough yards. Yeah. So, I mean, they can give them some different looks today offensively when running the ball.
So we've arrived at the prediction point of the podcast, but before I have you predict this game, I want to look at the other side real quick. So in the other semifinal in this class, it's 12-0, number two ranked Platte County taking on unranked MICDS. They're 11-2. Who do you see coming out of that game that, you know, the winner of our game will face next week in the state title game?
You know, MICDS is kind of like Lafayette, a St. Louis school that kind of went a little bit under the radar. Okay. You know, they slipped into the rankings late in the year, but and then fell out. You know, they aren't ranked right now. Platte County's ranked number two. I think Platte County should win that game. Okay. You know, MICDS has to go all the way across the state to play, so that's going to be a trek.
Yeah.
I just think Platte County wins that one. I don't want to say handily, but could be. I think it should be a good game if Platte County wins.
Okay. And what team will they be meeting then?
Well, okay, first I want to explain why Helias is hosting this game.
Okay.
Because after the game, I had so many people, how do you know they're hosting? Okay. I want to explain how this happens.
Right.
Helias was the number one seed in the district. So they played two home games in the district and then went on the road for the quarters. Lafayette was the number two seed in their district, so they played three, and it turns out they ended up playing three home games for the district because of the upset, and then went on the road. Mission does not count that opening round bye as a home game.
Okay.
So that is why Helias, that is one of the reasons why Helias is hosting this game.
Okay.
All right, so now I got that off my chest, and
right.
Hopefully everybody can remember that for the future, that if there's a bye, it doesn't count, and so there we go. All right, the prediction time. I just see this being another tight, close game, which you really want to see, well, as a fan or whatever, as when you get to this time of year.
Yeah.
They can score. You know, they're Lafayette through the year, they're scoring in the 40s at times.
Right.
So they obviously know what they're doing on the offensive end. Have they played a defense quite like Helias, other than probably out of Kirkwood and Eureka? Probably not.
Okay.
You know, Helias defense is bordering on elite for what they're getting done this year.
Okay.
So I think that will do a little bit to keep their total down. Now Helias, what kind of game are they going to try to play? Are they going to try to run the ball? You know, we'll just go back in the postseason. They ran for 300 yards in their district opener against Camdenton. They threw the ball really well the last 2 weeks. So they can really kind of go either way with what they want to do, or they can be very balanced.
Okay.
So I think that could cause a problem for a Lafayette defense that right now is not giving up a lot of points.
Okay.
You know, that held Ritter to three touchdowns. I'm going to say Helias is going to win. Helias will win 27-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.